Hello and welcome to Sustainable Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things related to climate change and sustainability across the county of Warwickshire.
Hello, I'm Steve Smith, the Director at Warwickshire County Council, and I'm your host of our podcast series, Sustainable Warwickshire. We hope to share some of the things being done to fight climate change and support biodiversity from across the county and give you some ideas on what you can do to play your part. In this episode, we're going to be talking about energy, where it comes from, how we use it and what the future might look like. Joining me to discuss what needs to change for us to meet our net zero target, as well as help our residents to navigate through a cost of living crisis, is Rachel Jones, Chief Executive Officer at Acton Energy, and Dave Barber, Programme Director for Climate Change at Warwick District Council. Rachel, if I can come to you first, could you tell us about who Acton Energy are and what role you play in the County of Warwickshire?
Yes. Well, we've been delivering sort of expert advice on energy efficiency schemes and energy billing and pretty much everything in between, really, for the past 25 years. In fact, August is our 25th anniversary of providing energy efficiency advice. So we've been around a long time, set up initially by Stratford-upon-Avon District Council, actually, to deliver their own obligations on this sector around climate change and fuel poverty. And it was quickly realised that the issue was far greater. So we became a charity in our own right and work across the county and actually more recently across neighbouring counties and the wider region to really look at the issues that are impacting householders predominantly on all issues around energy. So, as I said, really ranging from that fuel poverty piece right the way through to that climate change side and everything else in the middle. So we're a busy organisation at the moment, as you can imagine.
I can, absolutely. And Dave, your role at WDC, Programme Director, major programme I know at Warwick District Council. If you could just talk to me about that priority for Warwick District and how wide-ranging the programme is.
Yeah, the council declared a climate emergency like many, many councils back in 2019 and decided to appoint a Programme Director role. And I was appointed to that role back in 2020. And one of the first things that we did was obviously look at what impact we as an organisation have, but also what impact we as a district as a whole have on climate change. And you know, one of the things that became not surprisingly became apparent through that was that a lot of our carbon emissions, carbon being the biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions or human-made greenhouse gas emissions, the sources come from mainly transport and buildings in the district, both in terms of the council's own operations and in terms of what's happening in the district. And of course, transport and buildings rely very heavily on energy. So I think it's really welcome to have this opportunity to have a discussion today about energy related things, because energy is really at the heart of a lot of what's going on around climate change.
Absolutely. Rachel, you mentioned that Acton Energy have been around for 25 years, so energy is a constant priority for folk and how they pay their bills and make their ends meet. Would you say now that it's a more acute problem than ever before? Are you seeing more people come to you?
We certainly are, Steve. The numbers that are contacting us have grown, well, they've doubled in the last 12 months. And we were just looking at, I'm just running some figures actually across all of our service that we provide. But they've, just to give you an idea, they were running at about 12,000 a year. We're now just hit 24,000 in the last 12 months. Of those sort of that have come from Warwickshire, we're probably looking at around 5,000 households. Well, people that have come forward to us that are really struggling. Predominantly, it's the energy bill crisis at the moment. That's the big thing, is that whole cost of living piece. And we're not seeing that change. Normally, during the summer, the calls to us would be, you know, a lot less. The numbers would be lower. At the moment, they're still rising. People are still really struggling and are concerned about how they're going to go forward for next year, how they're going to heat their homes, what that means around damp and mold growth and all those sort of things, and what grants are out there, I think, is what a lot of people are asking. What support is out there? They hear a lot in the news at the moment, and I think that's one of the biggest triggers, is what does that mean for them?
Absolutely. And Dave, the residents that contact the district council, the voices that you hear, the people you engage with, I know that Warwick ran a people's assembly on the whole subject of climate change. What was you hearing during that assembly on the matter of energy?
Yeah, I very much in line with what Rachel just said. It's really high in people's minds at the moment. And I mean, the assembly we ran was back in 2021, so it's perhaps before the current energy crisis had sort of reached its height. But even then, people were talking about energy from homes being one of the real top things that they felt the council needed to tackle. And they're absolutely right to say that. I mean, we as a council have about 5,500 of our own council homes, and we have massive responsibilities there to make sure that our tenants live in comfortable, well-heated homes, but actually homes that also minimise the impact on climate change at the same time. But also we have responsibilities in terms of working with landlords in the private rented sector and supporting them to minimise energy. And of course, you know, if we are going to take our climate change responsibility seriously, we need to be supporting householders throughout the whole of the district to do what they can to reduce their energy bills, but also to reduce the carbon emissions that we're each responsible for in our own homes. So, you know, it was really, really helpful to get that kind of feedback. I think that gave our councillors a lot of confidence to say, right, we need to throw our weight behind this issue of energy in homes. And one of the things that was interesting about that as well was that, you know, the feedback was partly about what we need to do about the existing housing stock. And obviously, most of the houses that will be here in 50 years' time are already here now, but also what we need to do through the planning system in relation to new houses. I mean, I think we're all seeing houses being built at a great rate wherever we live in the country, but it's certainly true for Warwick District. There's a lot of houses being built at the moment. And it's a huge frustration to that assembly, but also to our residents, to our councillors, to me personally, to know that those houses are not being built to the highest energy efficiency standards that they could be, and are not using renewable energy sources to the extent that they could be. So we're absolutely determined to change the planning rules, the planning policies around this, to ensure that homes that are built in the future are net zero carbon, are energy efficient, are comfortable for people to live in.
Absolutely. And so, Dave, obviously we must have a reliance on one of the traditional fuels still, obviously electricity and natural gas. Are we needing to contemplate a major retrofit programme for that housing stock that you mentioned?
We absolutely need to. Yeah, I mean I'm sure Rachel will want to say more about this, but you know, you're right. The two main sources of energy that we use in our homes, not exclusively these two, but it's mainly about electricity and gas. So electricity we're mainly using for our appliances, our lighting, those sorts of things, and gas we're using for things like our heating, our cooking, our hot water, and so on. The electricity is interesting because we've seen a huge, nationally, we've seen a huge shift away from fossil fuel use. In other words, by fossil fuel, I mean things like gas, coal, oil, those sorts of things. Most of our electricity back in, let's say, 1990, about 80% of that was coming from fossil fuel, so gas, oil and coal. Coal has been mainly phased out now. We're still quite heavily reliant on gas, but it does mean that getting on for 50% of our electricity now comes from renewable sources or from nuclear power, which is obviously reducing the impact of our electricity on climate change a lot. So we've taken giant steps forward nationally in terms of the climate impacts of electricity use. Gas, on the other hand, you know, it is a fossil fuel. It's less polluting than coal, but it is still a significant because of our national carbon emissions. So whilst electricity can continue to improve as we increase renewable energy across the country, gas really is something that over time, and we can't do this quickly, but over time needs to be phased out and replaced by other sources of heating. And really the best candidates for that are heat pumps, which we'll talk about, and that they're driven by electricity, and potentially in the future hydrogen, although, you know, if you wanted to say I want to heat my home on hydrogen tomorrow, you'll find you wouldn't be able to do it. So that's not an option that's open to most people yet.
Indeed. Rachel, it'd be good to hear about some of the projects and initiatives that Axon Energy are involved in responding to those many calls that you're getting from residents.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So we've got a whole host of different projects out there, really looking at different groups that we're working with and people that have got different challenges that they want to address. They're sort of following on from where Dave was talking around, really around that climate change piece particularly. So for those people that are really interested in the climate change agenda and want to look at ways that they can improve how they impact on climate change. So we've got a couple of programs. One actually we're just launching at the moment with Warwick District Council, where we're actually providing a service to work with householders on what it means to retrofit your property. So if you've got an existing building already and you want to make it more energy efficient, what's the best way to go about doing that? How do you go about doing it? What contractors are out there? What do I need to do? And those are a lot of questions that I think a lot of residents just go, I have no idea where to start. And even the use of the word retrofit doesn't necessarily, people are like, well, what is that? What does that actually mean? And for us, it's really about trying to reduce the amount of energy one's actually using in their home. So really improving the, we call it the thermal envelope, but essentially the woolly jacket that's around the home, really. So, you know, working on our sort of whole house approach with residents, so going, actually, let's look about what you want to achieve and let's look at how we can achieve that over a short, medium and sort of long-term plan. So it would be initially looking at, you know, things like, have you got your loft insulated? Have you got your cavity walls done? The sort of more simpler measures that we're probably all sort of familiar with. And then there's an awful lot of housing, as Dave's already said, that's already there. That's, you know, pre-war housing stock, you know, even older than that, where you've got solid walls. So what can we do around that? So looking at the what's called external wall insulation, what can we do around that? And then once we've looked at that, sort of keeping the energy in the house or keeping the home warm, then it's looking at that next bit on. So can we look at the heating? How are we heating that home? Looking at the heat pumps, looking at what else we might be able to do to really make sure that we're heating demand on that home is as low as it possibly can be. And then finally, looking at probably the thing that most people are most interested in, and that's the photovoltaic panels, I think it's known as eco bling, really, but the things that people think that's, you know, people can see, oh, that's interesting. So those elements, and it's called a whole house retrofit. So we're just starting a program at the moment with Warwick, looking at householders that are really interested in that agenda area and helping them through that process and what that might look like. And running alongside that, there is a few government programme schemes, which I have to say all have the most fabulous acronyms you could ever want to hear. So there's one called HUGS, which is the Home Upgrade Grant Scheme. They've all got these sort of names at the moment. So HUGS is funding that's come out centrally, but each of the district councils has a allocated pot across the county, and it's targeting low income or vulnerable households to address issues around climate change, really. So all the measures that get installed are measures that I've sort of talked about, them, like the loft, cavity wall insulation, external wall insulation, and then it looks at heating. So particularly those houses where, you know, they might be on fossil fuels, particularly those that aren't on the mains gas network, they're really focusing on. So those sort of what we would call heavily polluting properties, so those that are oil heated, or there is some people out there that still got coal heating, those that have something called LPG, really targeting those homes and looking at changing the heating system within those. So some really exciting programs to support residents with some grant funding towards those particular programs. Really going back to, I think, what we sort of was said earlier, the challenge that we've got, this is a long program that's going to be required to move us all off fossil fuels into a more sustainable energy usage, particularly with the gas, because I think we're all probably quite used to and very comfortable with a gas boiler. But if you're putting in an air source heat pump, which is probably the way a lot of us are going to end up going, that's quite a different way of heating your home. Potentially there's quite a lot of work that would need to be done on someone's home. So it's really making people familiar and comfortable with those pieces of technology, really, is what we need to look at as organisations, and really help residents understand that and help them through the process. And it is quite a process, because, you know, we've got probably the best part of, particularly across the county, I would say 85-90% of the housing stock is on mains gas. So that's quite a shift to go from one to the other. And which is why, I mean, Dave said, you know, I think we're probably going to need a real slow transition, but a real mix of different technologies that are out there that we can use that suit different individuals at different times. Because I think particularly just taking people off mains gas very, very quickly could have an adverse effect, because that's one of the challenges around the from a fuel poverty point of view, is currently gas is still the cheapest heating fuel. So it's just doing it in a way that's sensible and considered, really.
Yeah, if I could come in on the back of that, one of the scale of the challenges is enormous. I mean, we've declared a climate emergency in Warwick District, but we have 60,000 homes, I think, something like that in Warwick District. And if you look right across Warwickshire, it'll be well in the hundreds of thousands of homes, won't it? And, you know, the grant schemes that Rachel's talked about are really valuable, because they're providing, you know, a resource or benefit for people who, you know, are vulnerable or are on low incomes and will really struggle to pay the fuel bills potentially, and will certainly struggle with actually parting with money to upgrade their homes or to retrofit their homes. So really, really important that we do that. But those grant schemes, certainly the way they've been developed at the moment, aren't going to reach the majority of those 60,000 homes in Warwick District or the hundreds of thousands in Warwickshire. So we really do need to think about how we respond to a climate emergency, how we help all of us who are experiencing higher fuel bills in a way that means that to help all of those people aren't reliant on those can't draw on those grant schemes. So I think the key thing that Rachel and I have been talking about, and it is about how we give people confidence to spend their money wisely. You know, so I might I do want to spend some money on reducing my energy bills and in reducing the carbon that's emitted from my home. But I want to be able to do that in a way where I know that every penny I spent is going to give me value for money. I want to do it in a way that I know that the contractor who's going to come and do the work in my home is going to be a reliable person that is going to do a high quality job. And it's about, I think, we as organisations, County Council, District Council, Act on Energy, others too, can need to think very carefully about how we give confidence. So the sort of scheme that Rachel and I have been talking about is, you know, an advice line initially to Act on Energy, but then actually Act on Energy providing that specialist advice for people to draw on, which is bespoke to their own home, so that they know that they're getting the right kind of advice and spending their money wisely, because it's a really, really tough thing to do.
Absolutely. And it strikes me that it's creating another sector here. You could call it the alternative energy or the renewable market. But, you know, there's demand out there for people to want to engage in the market. But does that come with confidence that, as you say, Dave, that you can have a contractor who can deliver what you're paying for, that is reliable, that the performance of the equipment you're buying is going to be delivering what the blurb says that you're buying into? And it's because it's a relatively new market in the scheme of things, that there is that room for organisations like yourself, like Act on Energy, like Warwick District, places for trading standards, places for any consumerism to back up, consumer protection to back up this new market. And I wonder what role that Act on Energy can play in that, Rachel, clearly, because of the demand that's going to be placed on that market, and whether the skills in the operatives as well, and there must be room for a lot of people to enter into a career in this area as well, to support this transition over decades. What do you think?
There is huge potential from a careers point of view in the energy sector and the wider sector that comes from that. And I'm really passionate that more people start to look at the sector. There will ultimately be a skill shortage at some point if we don't start to address that now. And I know that's probably a podcast down the line to really look at that skills piece. But there's a huge amount of potential. We've certainly got a number of our team that have joined us recently from Warwick University, for example, who are really understanding how policy that's generated at central government, how that's delivered locally, understanding how the compliance elements work of a lot of these schemes. So there's quite a lot of protection that's been put in place for consumers at the moment around this. Particularly, there's a lovely piece called PAS, or PAS 2035 to be accurate, which is really ensuring that consumer protection piece. But it is quite complicated, so it does require quite a lot of training that sits around it. So it's something that we're very aware of, all our staff within our organization, that they have that improved understanding, and it's making sure that we're upskilling not only the advice organizations that are delivering and supporting these schemes, but both officers within councils, officers and staff within the contractors themselves, because there's a lot of really excellent contractors out there, but this is a new way of working, looking at the whole house approach, and it's a whole upskill piece with a huge amount of potential that can really make a significant real significant difference to both the lives of people living in those homes, but also from a career point of view and economic growth for the county. Actually, there's a massive amount of potential for the green economy within the Shire, really, to be honest. And there's a lot of contractors already out there, and it'd be really great to grow those and make sure we're utilising those to deliver the works that we're talking about, particularly starting with some of these, you know, the schemes I talked about, the HUGs, the Home Upgrade Grant Scheme, all those sort of local delivery schemes, so we can grow that local economy piece. There's some real opportunities out there to get young people particularly into this sector.
And Dave, are Warwick District seeing those companies spring up and wanting to invest in Warwick District, throughout Warwickshire, really, those companies that are operating in this sector? I know it's not necessarily the field of housing, but are you getting a sense of that onshore manufacture of panels and air source heat pumps is something that there's a gap for our local economy?
I'm absolutely certain there's a gap in our local economy. I'm not sure we're responding fast enough to that gap at the moment locally. I think we're seeing some of the big players nationally beginning to invest quite heavily in the sorts of technologies that we need in the future. And as they invest more in that, we're beginning to see the prices edge downwards for things like heat pumps and so on. But of course, prices are always about supply and demand. So whilst the production lines are improving, the demand is also increasing. And so we're not seeing radical reductions in prices. So we're seeing progress nationally. I think locally, my sense is we still have a skills gap. And I know that the councillors in Warwick District Council are really, really keen to work with local colleges, local organisations to improve the local skills. And thinking of what Rachel was just saying there about bringing young people into this kind of area, I think is something that we should again be working together on across the county council, the district council, and other organisations that are involved with education and employment. So it's an area we definitely need to look at.
Absolutely. Well, we could just move on to now looking further ahead. We're talking about a lot of the programmes and the grants that are here now. And I wonder if we get a sense from either of you about where the energy sector is going. If you're talking to those energy suppliers, obviously we've got National Grid, a major presence in Warwickshire. Cadent also, who have now got the gas distribution network from National Grid, who are heavily investing in hydrogen infrastructure. And I just wondered if we're getting a sense of where that transition might be. I'll come to you first, Dave.
Yes, I have had conversations with National Grid about hydrogen. This was before that their hydrogen arm was hived off into a separate organisation, so going back 6 months to a year ago. And they do have ambitions to increase the hydrogen supply into the gas network. They can do that in two ways. One is that they can introduce around 20%, some people say as high as 30% hydrogen into the existing gas network. So it's a mix of natural gas and hydrogen that comes into our homes, and we will notice no difference whatsoever in the way our homes are sort of heated, and we won't need to replace the boilers. So there have been some trials where that's shown to work. So that's something that is not happening now, but could happen if it gets the right permits and the right support. So obviously all the safety checks need to be done on that, but that's what's in the pipeline at the moment. So the other thing that I think is being looked at on a national basis, and if you look at the government's Powering Up Britain strategy, which is their energy strategy, there is an intention to phase out natural gas. And if you're going to phase that out, you've really got to be looking at either electrical heating, which might be around air source heat pumps, something like that, or you've got to look at hydrogen. And again, I think that longer term ambition for, say, 2035 onwards would be looking at how you can bring hydrogen into our homes as the main source of heating. And most of the boilers that, if you go out and buy a boiler today, will be hydrogen ready. Doesn't mean that they're operating on hydrogen now, but it means that with the flick of a switch, they could operate on hydrogen instead of natural gas. So I think, nationally, there are going to be changes. I think the other big changes, as I sort of hinted at earlier, is that we'll see increasing amounts of renewable energy within our electricity supply. So again, phasing out natural gas power stations and replacing that with solar. And we'll talk about solar and locally in a minute, perhaps. But solar, offshore wind is obviously a really big source of renewable energy, and indeed onshore wind as well. So the government, again, I can't remember the statistics, but they're envisaging absolutely huge amounts of increases in renewable energy supply over the next 10 years or so. So that will be interesting. All of that will need to be supplemented by nuclear power. If you take the strategy that they have set out, so it's not purely renewable energy. It's also about nuclear power as well.
And Rachel, on a more domestic level, do Acton Energy get a sense that there's more product and more equipment out there for people to buy at even retail level, so that they can make the better choice, if it's an affordable choice, to better improve the energy efficiency in their homes? We obviously all know about A-star rated fridge freezers, things. Those have been around many a time. But do you get a sense there's a lot more choice for the consumer out there now?
I think there is a lot more choice out there. I think the biggest challenge is the cost of that choice at the moment, with just the price rises that we've seen across the piece, really. Also has affected appliances particularly. So, you know, appliances are expensive. And even if you're looking at, you know, the gas boilers, which we talked about. So, you know, there is a lot of houses out there with old gas central heating systems. And so, you know, the people aren't necessarily going to be ready for a heat pump yet. So it's about, when it comes to the end of its life, that are you putting in best possible gas boiler that you can, and is it, you know, ready to take hydrogen? So, you know, the likes of the local manufacturers that we have nearby, you know, we've got a couple of boiler manufacturers one in the county and one in the county next door. So not wanting to name either of them for favouring one or the other, but making sure that we are, you know, utilising those sort of projects is really, really important that we do that. And accessing, you know, those lofts and cavity wall insulation, you know, the low energy lighting, they may not sound that exciting, but they certainly make a huge amount of difference in the energy consumption that we're using. So when something's come to the end of its life, it's about replacing it with something that's going to be most efficient from that sort of side of things is really, really important. And I think going forward for this winter, energy bills potentially would have dropped a little bit, but we are still some way off where we were, you know, sort of a couple of years ago, when you know the average householder was paying, you know, sort of £1,200 to £1,300, at best we're probably going to be looking at 2,000. I think the average is going to be 2,074, but that really is an average that is kind of almost meaningless, because it really depends on your energy needs. And if you're living in an older property, your energy needs might be higher. If you've got any sort of vulnerability, then your energy needs are going to be really, really high. So, you know, that could be, you know, £3,000. And it's where does that money come from when you're trying to offset, you know, rising mortgage costs and those sort of things. So for us, it's really about trying to give the best advice possible for householders on based on their current situation that they're in. I think that's really, really important.
Absolutely. And I'm coming to that conclusion that, you know, the needs of our population, just the population in Warwickshire, for example, is so diverse. You know, we've got people living in quite modern homes, but they may only be modern for the time that they were built, you know, and the regulations move on. And then people who are living in almost medieval properties, you know, in some of our particular locations in the south of the county in particular, that have solid walls and thatch roofs, and, you know, there's such a diverse range in between that it's difficult to make sweeping conclusions, really. And I understand the challenges that you've outlined there. One other aspect that we know comes with energy, and particularly renewable energy, is infrastructure that one can see on the landscape. And it's often controversial. And Dave, with your planning background, it'd be interesting to hear what your views are about further infrastructure. We know about solar farms and obviously wind turbines, you know, they're not uncommon these days. Your eye can rest on them at any turn, really. And I just wonder whether you can foresee more of that, or sort of different technology altogether starting to come across our landscapes.
We need to invest in renewable energy right across the country for the reasons that we've just been talking about. You know, it's going to be increasingly important for both our own energy security as a country, but also for the decarbonisation, in other words, the climate change issues that we've been talking about. So Warwickshire isn't going to be immune to that at all. We live in a relatively sunny part of the country, and we're in an area where solar farms can thrive and can make a meaningful contribution to renewable energy. So we've already seen a lot of solar farms springing up across South Warwickshire over the last few years. We as a council have received quite a significant increase in the number of solar farm planning applications recently, and a number of those have been approved. So in making those decisions, it is difficult for councillors, because they're weighing up that whole issue about local concerns, about what those solar farms do to the local landscape, what they do to ecology, what they do to food production, those sorts of things, against the fact that we actually need renewable energy. And, you know, that's why that balance is a tough one to draw. One of the things that we are trying to do through in developing the new local plans, we're developing a South Warwickshire local plan with Stratford District Council. What we're trying to do is actually understand which bits of South Warwickshire need to be protected, or indeed need to be allocated for certain types of uses. So we've got a study going on looking at things like, well, where are there really rich ecological resources that need to be protected? So, you know, we shouldn't be building solar farms in those areas. Where are the most productive areas for food production? We shouldn't be building solar farms in those sorts of places. Where are the really sensitive landscape areas, which we need to be avoiding? But actually, the converse side of that is, where are the areas where solar farms could be located across South Warwickshire? Because we recognise that South Warwickshire needs to be playing its part in that renewable energy production. Wind is probably a step more controversial. I think, you know, the large wind turbines that you see on the landscape, some people love them, a lot of people don't love them. And we know that that wind turbine proposals tend to be extremely controversial in the planning process. It's not something I have a great deal of experience of, because Warwick District itself is, I told this as a technical term, is a bit of a wind desert. In other words, we're not in a very windy part of the country. We're not even a very windy part of the county. There are much windier bits of Warwickshire than Warwick District. And as a result, we haven't had very many applications for wind turbines in Warwick District. That's not so we won't get them. And when we do, we'll have to make the same kind of judgments as I was just describing in relation to solar farms as well.
Absolutely. And it's a subject matter that we could have a whole separate podcast on, and maybe we will in the future. I'm going to move us on, though, now and come back to you, Rachel, just about some of the practical support for households, really. You mentioned some of the grants earlier in our podcast with interesting acronyms, as you said. But is there any more you can say on where people can get help and advice and maybe access to funding where they need it?
Yeah, I think that the first port of call is perhaps for people to give us a call. So we've got, you know, we've got a free phone number that people can call us on. We're also present at a multitude of events around the county as well, including some of the, you know, the warm hub type events as well. So it's really about having that conversation. There's certain things that you know, what we can talk about now. So there'd be things like, you know, how we use our energy. I mean, that's the key one. Are we conserving our energy? Are we doing things like switching things off? All those sort of types of things. Do we understand our energy bill? I think up until really the energy crisis, I have to say probably most of us weren't really sure what a kilowatt hour of gas was and electricity was and how much we were paying for it. I think since the energy crisis, I think we've all become a lot more aware of exactly what we're paying and also how much we're paying from a standing charge point of view. So, you know, for example, £300 of our bill, it goes on the standing charge, which, you know, is, you know, doing its infrastructure issues for the energy suppliers, essentially. For most of us, and particularly if you're struggling, it doesn't mean anything. And that's where it can be quite challenging for those on prepayment meters who really do often struggle with their billing side of things. So it's really about understanding your bill, looking at where you're at the moment. Are you protected by the energy price guarantee, of which most households will be, unless they're on a fixed tariff, then potentially they are locked in to whatever that might be, and they may want to look at that. So it's for them, it's about having a conversation with us to assist that. We certainly go out into people's homes as well if they do really struggle, particularly if they really have no idea of what they're doing from a bill point of view, or if they are struggling, where we will spend in some cases it's been substantial amounts of time on the phone to energy suppliers, because sometimes getting a hold of your energy supplier can be a bit of a challenge, can be a good 45 minute wait, and we are seeing at the moment debt levels across the county ranging from, you know, a few hundred pounds up to thousands and thousands of pounds. And so it's really about, if you have got an energy a debt, about addressing that and speaking to us and looking at the options that are out there, because there is some financial support that's out there through the county council and actually through some of the district councils as well. And then alongside that is around that heating your home piece, because it's really, really important to actually have a warm home. Even though it may cost money, the ramifications of not having a warm home can lead to all sorts of exacerbation of health problems, cold, damp homes, and it can lead to some catastrophic effects. People can end up in hospitals with all sorts of respiratory conditions or cardiac conditions from cold and damp homes. And it's certainly been in the press over the, you know, the last 12 months with that happening. So it's really important that people do heat their homes and also ventilate their homes as well. It's one of the things we've certainly seen a lot, that people are cold, and so they block all the vents up on the property. Again, that can be incredibly dangerous from a carbon monoxide point of view, but also from that damp and mold growth side. So for us, it's about those different sides of people that we're talking to. So those that are really struggling around their energy bills, and giving them the advice and guidance about what's out there, what support's out there, through to that those that are wanting to do a bit more with their property and looking at what's the right decision, as Dave was saying earlier. And also the other area I really want to address is the private rented sector, so landlords. There's a lot of landlords across the county, and there's a huge number in Dave's district as well. Quite often they want to do something, but they don't necessarily know quite what to do. And it can be very, very confusing, particularly when you look at particularly heating appliances. They'll say it's very efficient, but it isn't necessarily cost efficient. And we've certainly seen a number of landlords have been caught out by that. So they've had night storage heaters, for example, and they've taken them out to improve their energy rating and their carbon rating and put in like an electric, called electric wet boiler. And all of a sudden their energy rating has gone lower. So the house was worse than it was to start with and is also more expensive to run. And a lot of that is just down to the information and guidance that they've been given. So for us, one of the key areas is working with landlords so they can look at their properties and the way to improve the banding of them. So properties are rated essentially A to G, with A being fabulous, G not so good, and really helping landlords understand how they can move that house up that banding scale, which is a benefit for them as a landlord, and obviously a huge benefit to the person that's living there. And going forward, landlords aren't going to be able to rent properties out in low banded properties. So it's really trying to work with landlords to help them through that those processes. And that's something we're certainly doing with some of Dave and his team at Warwick. And it's just trying to get that information across to landlords that there is support and help out there to do that.
Super. And you've covered a hell of a lot there. Thank you, Rachel, in terms of some of the very practical support and advice that you're offering to households. We're coming to the end of our podcast now, and we always like to finish our conversations with a similar vein, really, with sharing some ideas and what other people can do to play their part. And Dave, I'll just come to you. Is there any top tips for your listeners that you would want to impart today?
Well, I mean, Rachel said an awful lot of very wise words in that last answer. And I mean, my number one top tip for anybody would be to contact Acton Energy, because they're a great team. And, you know, we really value the service that they provide. So that would be my number one tip. The only other thing that I was going to suggest that people could do, and this is really for people who are buying new homes. So we talked earlier about the new houses that are being built around the district, and indeed around right across Warwickshire. I think it's important when you're looking at a new home that you do ask the questions about how is that home heated, how well is it. Is it insulated? What sort of energy bills am I going to experience? Will I have to retrofit that house at some point in the future at some sort of cost to myself? Because actually all of those questions might affect the decision you make about whether that's the right home for you or whether there are better homes. And one of the reasons I say that is because I think more people that ask those sorts of questions, the more we'll see house builders actually shift their behaviours, the way and their building techniques towards more energy efficient homes and more low carbon heating systems, which will help with climate change and it'll help the individuals who live in those homes to keep their energy bills down. I mean, we are, as a council, trying to deal with that both through the planning system and through the work that we are doing with our own sort of council homes. So when we build new council homes, we make sure that they do have low carbon sources of energy and have higher specifications for energy efficiency. But not all house builders are doing that, and I think it's a great way of encouraging house builders to change the way they operate.
Thank you, Dave. And Rachel, any top tips to add to already the top tips you've given?
Yes, I've given a fair few top tips already. And thank you, Dave, for the suggestion that people do call us. I mean, I think for us, it is that conversation and talking about energy is really important, because a lot of people haven't really talked about it. And so it's really important that we're having these open conversations and we're listening to the likes of Martin Lewis is probably a prime example of that, of thinking about energy and understanding our energy. And for me, that's really, really important. And I think going back to that, some of that careers pieces, it's some huge opportunities to come and work in this sector. And I think and the combined authority at the moment are even doing, I've got a programme for those have got, I think it's an income less than 30,000. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's 30,000, where they're offering level 3 training around the retrofit agenda to really encourage people to join that. And so from my side, I think that's one of the things I'd really like is more people to get into this industry, because it is really exciting. There's a huge variety of skills and jobs that are available in the sector. So we'd certainly like to see more of them. We've certainly grown as a team here from having 12 staff to nearly 50 staff. And I think really what we've certainly seen is how much people enjoy doing the work that they're doing, because it is about making a difference to the lives of each other, but also really improving their homes and hopefully leading to a huge benefit from a climate change point of view, and really trying to have homes that are going to be sustainable going forward.
That's a brilliant note to end on. Thank you very much, Rachel, and thank you also to you, Dave, and thank you to everybody out there who has been joining us today. That's the end of this episode of our Sustainable Warwickshire podcast. If you'd like to find out more about climate change in Warwickshire, visit www.warwickshireclimateemergency.org.uk. You can also find out more about Acton Energy at www.actonenergy.org.uk and on their phone line 0800 988 2881. And Warwick District Council's climate change plans at warwickdc.gov.uk/climate change. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed the conversation and would like to hear more of the same, please do subscribe. We'll be back next month with more.